The sermon is based on the gospel reading from John chapter 21. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Do you love me, Peter? Then go do the work that I gave you to do. Stop fishing, stop moping about, but go. Go into my labor in my vineyard, tend my sheep, feed my people. Now, one thing Peter doesn't do is ask Jesus, Lord, what do I feed them? Because he already knew, Jesus had already told him, You feed them my word, you give them my law, give them my gospel. Go forth into all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. This was not an option for Peter, but a command for him to feed the people the food that God gave him. And it's crucial that God's sheep, his people, eat the food they are supposed to eat. You see, this is a text. In this gospel, it goes two directions. On the one hand, we see the shepherd of God's flock is to properly take care of the people of God, his sheep. And on the other hand, we see that God's sheep need to be fed, and they need to eat the right food. Our physical bodies also need to be fed. And when it comes to food, we've got our favorites, don't we? And the food we like, let's face it, it's the food that tastes good. Bring on the steak. Scoop up the ice cream, Bluebell that is. Crack open the lobster shell, unwrap the Mr. Good Bar. If we like it, we crave it, we want it. And that's why dieting is so difficult. Nutrition may be good for you, sure, but who really cares if it doesn't taste good? I mean, put a salad in front of me and I really got to work to eat it, but a bowl of ice cream, a couple of Mr. Good Bars will be gone before I know it. Without a care in the world about sugar intake and calorie consumption. And that's really how it is, right? If we like it, we want it, give it to me. If we don't like it, it's going to take some convincing before we put it into our mouths. Even worse, we all know that cooks like to prepare food that people like, that makes them return for seconds, whether or not it's good for the body. Restaurants don't stay in business because their food tastes bad. OC Burger makes a wonderful burger, especially the mushroom and Swiss burger I had last night. But friends, don't eat it if you're going on a diet. There is something about grease and fat that doesn't quite jive with quality nutrition. However, a healthy diet is good for the body. Just like if all I ate was Bluebell and Mr. Good Bars, I would not stay healthy for very long. Cravings and desires aside, friends, nutrition, it is good for you. A healthy diet is good for the body. And there is some truth in the saying, you are what you eat. That goes for you physically as well as spiritually. Spiritually too, Christian, you are what you eat. You eat junk food all the time? Sure, your physical body is going to suffer from it. Same thing spiritually. If you eat spiritual junk all the time, your soul is going to suffer from it. It's in John's gospel where we are told what we should eat spiritually. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Peter and the disciples were to feed God's sheep the bread of life. And this bread, Christian, is consumed by faith. Faith eats this bread of life, the word made flesh that goes into our ears, into our hearts, making us that new creation, children of God, forgiven and righteous. But if you don't eat this bread of life, if your diet consists of something else, and you keep going to the cook, demanding that he give you what you want, that food that tingles your taste buds while being bad for the body, you're only starving yourself. Sheep need to be fed the right food in the right way. This was Peter's task. And we need to make sure, friends, that the food of our souls is this bread of life and not something else. I mentioned my weakness for Mr. Goodbar and Bluebell ice cream. Harmless pleasures that every now and again, probably not that big of a deal, but let's go beyond ice cream, burgers, pizza, candy. Most diets don't include those foods. Let's think about something else. What if in your diet there was a tiny drop of arsenic? Would you eat it? It's just a little bit. One drop's probably not going to kill you. What's the big deal? Go ahead, chow down. Would you do it? Of course not. And if you did, it probably would not affect you at first. You may even go about your day thinking nothing happened. But if you did that continually, over time of your body processing arsenic, the effects will be devastating. Why am I bringing this up? I bring this up because I want to compare arsenic with false teaching. That teaching that is not God's word, but the word of man. An opinion, a desire, a promise not anchored in the word of God, but in the heart of the creature. Peter was commanded to feed God's word to his people. The teachings of Jesus, not his own made-up version of Christianity. And we see in his sermon at Pentecost that Peter does just that. He feeds the people his word, the word of God, that is. And he does not let the Jews off the hook. Hear Peter's words from Acts. He says, "This Jesus, whom you crucified, has risen from the dead, and we are all witnesses. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Here you have what Peter feeds the people. He's not there to impress them with an elaborate story. He's not working to get a chuckle out of the crowd. He's not in it to win a popularity contest, friends. But he preaches the word of God, the bread of life. And he lets that word do its work. A tiny bit of arsenic in your food might not be that big of a deal at first. But over time it's deadly. And false teaching, Christian, please hear me, it's very important. False teaching works the same way. It only takes a little lie, a little deceit, a little falsehood to get someone thinking in a different direction, and before long you may find yourself sinking your faith into something that God never said. A little leaven does leaven the whole lump. Just a little bit of arsenic does taint all the food. And so a little bit of false teaching does corrupt the entire body. Now, it is also in John's gospel where John records for us what Jesus thinks of the devil. And Jesus says the devil is the father of lies. He is the father of lies, and he will say anything, if it gets you to listen to his voice instead of the voice of God. Go back to the garden, and what do we find? The serpent approaches Eve, asks a seemingly innocent question. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? Come on, Eve. You will not surely die. Look at it. It looks so good to the eyes. You got to try it. You will not die. Boy, it seemed as if the word of life was coming from his lips. Go ahead, eat the fruit. It doesn't matter. Eat any tree you want. You will not surely die. Go for it. This is the great lie of the devil, isn't it? When he tells you, go ahead, sin, transgress all you want. It doesn't matter. You will not surely die. There is no death with sin. It's not what God's word teaches us. God is very clear when he says, all have sinned and fall short the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, a wage that is upon the head of every sinner. The lies, the arsenic of false teaching, friends, people of God, it plagues the world, doesn't it? and it also plagues the church. Did God really bring into creation everything we know from nothing? We will hear in Bible study today from Isaiah that yes, he did. God is very clear. He is the creator of all things. But the world says no. Doesn't happen that way. Noah's flood. Ugh, myth. Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Come on, we all know they walked across a sandbar that wasn't strong enough to support the Egyptian army. The resurrection of the body, fairy tale. So says the father of lies. We all know bodies stay in the grave. Jesus' body is around. We just haven't found it yet, right? So keep digging. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the father of lies is still at it. Still pushing that falsehood, that deceitfulness. Still trying to turn our hearts and minds away from the one true God. And it doesn't take much. It does not take much for the sinful mind to begin thinking about something not of God and not of his word. So I say unto you, make sure the food you are eating is the bread of life. Make sure you consume Christ and his word, not the lies of the evil one. Not only does the father of lies speak falsehood, but he also speaks some truth when he accuses us of our sins. When he takes God's mighty law and he shows you everywhere you have fallen short. Christian, when you are suffering with a guilty conscience over something you did or something you should have done and you didn't do, that is no time for lies. That is no time to eat spiritual junk, feasting on more lies of the devil, but that is the time for God's food, his bread, his word, his mercy, his life, his forgiveness. You see, God's food does something for us that no other type of food does, and that is it creates and nourishes faith in him. So what this means is, when you are feeling crushed in spirit, Christian, when you are feeling the pain of a guilty conscience, when you know your sin, and I mean you really know it, you experience it, you feel it as if it is gnawing at and crushing your very bones, remember, your faith, your salvation is founded upon the word of God, the bread of life that God feeds you, his word that says unto you, be of good cheer. Take heart. All is well. Your sins are forgiven. Peace be unto you. Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Christ died and rose for you to give you the gift of forgiveness, to win for you by his shed blood, life eternal. All which belongs to you by faith in the living Son of God. Now the epistle reading was from Acts chapter 9. And in that reading, we hear about Paul's encounter with this mighty word of God on the way to Damascus. This persecutor of the church, a man steeped in Jewish legalism, a man who burned with hatred for Christians and persecuted the one true God, runs into the powerful word of our Lord on that fateful trip to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. At that moment, everything changed for this unbeliever. Saul becomes, we know him, Paul, a bold apostle, transformed by the word of God to now have faith, grabbing hold of Jesus. No more legalism, no more pharisaical hypocrisy and unrighteousness. Paul realizes by the word of God that his God is not his own works, it is not his flesh and his own labors, but by God's grace, he is brought to know and trust that salvation comes from the bread of life. Christian, we conclude by me again saying, always eat the bread of life. When you are fed, make sure you are getting the pure word of God so that when you are led to a place where you do not want to go, it's okay. is okay. God is with you, and you rest securely in his nail-pierced hands. When your guilty conscience flares up and the evil one accuses you of your sins, your faith is founded upon the word of God. Jesus shed his blood for you to take away your sins now unto death. You are reconciled to God by Jesus' cross and his blood. Even when your senses are failing, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is your confidence, and he will not permit the righteous to be moved. Therefore, brothers and sisters in Christ, take what is yours. Daily feast upon the bread of life. Feed upon it abundantly. It is the only food you need. That bread is your Savior, Jesus. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.